sentient beings who are empty to that compassion for that enlightenment by which is empty. Bama Sabha Alonu, which is also empty. I think it's a reminder us to emptiness. So didn't anybody fall down? Huh?
Yesterday.
What?
Yesterday.
Ali. You fell down?
Happy.
Happy falling down. So, just a little continuity, what I started. So, the mind creating the phenomena, things. See, you know, the present mind creating present. You see, phenomena, the examples. So, anyway. So, if somebody is to steal your things, you know, example, see, another example. So then, the I have one teacher, one guru, one great, very successful meditator. His name is Genchampa Wangdui. So, you know, Lama and myself were their best friend, Dharamsala. was a very successful meditator. So, he lived life in the monastery, what he said, didn't study, you know, didn't follow the program of the monastery, you see. And so it's just, you know, kind of doctors, you see, kind of fighting, kind of a challenge, you see. Oh, who is more hero, you see, like that. Or so there are many things to kind of competition, not football, not soccer. Not soccer. Not soccer. I don't know, Mexico word. In Mexico word. Huh? Soccer or football? Okay. Yeah. So anyway, not that, but there are their own things there. Don't follow the monastery rules. They usually, but they offer tea to them, the tupa and the rice food, the special fun, you know, special functions. So they offer tea, you know, these things they do some, but not study. So anyway, so. Maybe they fight and you know this was more heroes in the little doctors. Anyway, so not but it's like this is what they do, but I don't think it's so much. Do exactly what others do. Anyway, so somebody wanted. There was one monk, you know, who was selling well, you know. Then somebody wanted to harm or to kill or something. So then he went outside. He went outside to protect this monk. And he preferred himself to be killed. he exposed himself to be killed, to not protect the other monk who was studying well. It's because the other monk was studying well, you know, so they were, so he exposed himself, yeah, you know, to be killed, to choose to be killed, and not protect the other. So, so it's not, so but he said, so I lived like Dr. Fushi. So anyway, without telling much that then one time there was a commentary of Guru Yoga, Lama Chöpa, given by Lama Yeshe Master Guru, his son of Tsang Bache, in Tibet, or one monastery called I think Tsumeling Monastery. Tsumeling Monastery. I think the Lama that Rinpoche the past life, I think maybe great Lama, lineage of the Guru, lineage Lama of Guru Puja teachings. this monastery, was given. Oh, there. So, Lama Yeshe was there, and he was there in the Sera Garden during this monastery's. The main focus is extensive study, debate, extensive study of the Buddhist philosophy, the five major texts, Sutta texts, which I mentioned today, in the commentaries by. You know, Buddha's teaching can be commented by Indian great scholars, the six ornaments, So those great Indian pandits and also great great scholars and great highly enlightened beings, the Dalai Lama, so Dalai Lama, and whatever. So usually monastic disciplines, you don't go outside from, you know, to take initiation teachings. Tantric path or this, even Lambrim, you don't go out, you see, ruled, you don't have much entry with Geshe, you just stay in the monastery and study. So, even in the text, even in the text, in your room, you can't keep like tantric or the other things much, maybe the philosophical text. So, even the rules are there. So disciplines like that. Well, I think why? Because of course you should tell Lambrim teachings and tantric initiation. You need that. But you see, while you're studying that the monastery, the common disciplines, many study. So why? Because this. Why I think this? Because this monastery is mainly set up from the beginning. You see, to really learn most extensively possible, and to preserve the whole entire teaching of Buddha so deep and so clear and so, you see, and then so you're able to spread, you know, this world to transcendent beings. So there's continuity. You don't, so that's the exact continuity. So always keep the continuity. So it makes sense. When you think it broadly, it makes sense. When you think in a long term, the future in this world, that, you know, you think broadly, it makes sense. So otherwise, the previous lamas, the great lamas, the lamas of many, they start like this. They extremely in a good way, unbelievable way, studying, learning so extensive in the depth. So, So that, you know, extremely well set up, you see. Well, everything would get stopped very quickly, you see. So anyway, so after you finish the geshe, you have to do the examination, all that, and then, then still you go to Thomas College, you know, all the info, all this. But then there are more, I think you have more opportunity later to receive other teachings and, you know, to meditate in the absolute place, so how you see, you know, to be out of monastery or practice in the monastery. While you're teaching to others, educating others, also you do practice, you know, your mental path. So, many monks, many lamas, while they are teaching, so many monks, you know, all these five major texts, you see, commentaries, the Indian, but the Tibetan lamas, but many others, you know. Well, they're so very busy teaching, you know, themselves learning, teaching others. Then also they do practice themselves, they do malama meditation. You see, they try to have realization, good devotion, three pairs apart, and that's the position right. But then the uncommon two stage of tantra. So, the, for example, for example, Geshe Rabdhen Rinpoche, that I taught. My first philosophical teacher, and so he had a learned teacher, so he had some disciples. So there, you know, there's not so much separate time you find, you see, to meditate or think that, you know, there's a monastery, so it's full, it's all the program, you see. In the morning, you know, they come outside, we have the monks debate, and they do together prayer, and then again debate, you see, the first class, the next one, one by one. And then, like that in the morning, then they themselves go for teaching from other great teachers, and then often they have good teaching to others. So it's completely, you know, full. So they don't have much other time to meditate. So what they do is when they go for puja, you see, they begin this debate in the class. So there are many classes. So there's five major texts. Then they get the puja to prayers, meditation prayers, to eliminate the obstacles, you know, to complete their they're able to complete their study dharma and to have realization and all things. You see. And then also to pray to others and demons who died or who request. You see. So anyway. So there's not much other time. So then during the prayer time, then you see, you take that opportunity to meditate on the to maintain the path. So since many great practitioners they do that during puja, they do maintain the path. So my teacher there. Lama is guru also, Geshe Rabdhen Rinpoche. So when he was studying Madhyamika, Madhyamika is before studying the Abhidhamma Kosha and Vinaya, the monk's rules, okay, Vinaya, monk's vows, the very extensive study. So Geshe Rabdhen Rinpoche, so during the prayer, you know, they were, then he, the meditation, you see, on his own practice during that time. So even that time, you know, not finished studying, you see, Madhyamika, studying Madhyamika. So that's quite a senior monk when you study Madhyamika. So many years of study, Abhisamana, the medieval teaching commentary, all that, many commentaries. And before that, the logician or the so the basic ones for schools or the 70 topics, and then the about mental factors, and then the Duda. Duda is the two lower middle grades, you see. So, right beginning. So, but if you study those well, then it helps when you get into the bigger commentaries, the path you might learn. They help very much. You really got the basis. It's like building a house, you see. You could lay the foundation, you know, with a floor, you see. So, yeah, so like that. Similar when you are studying this Dharma. anyway, even that time when Kishirata mathematical class, this is the Amitabha Ghosh I've been having, see. So even that time, you see, during the puja, so he mentored on the, he mentored on the level part, you see this. Well, this is what, you know, the externally what as a manifest, you see. So even that time, during puja, so he mentored on the 20th part. So it means already had, trend mind in the Namrim finished Rurukul version and three panel aspects. So the even that time that he's able to himself, you know, he can say perfectly see to his mind himself the Amantaka, the deity most wrathful deity of Manjushri, manifested Manjushri, who is the embodiment of all Buddha's wisdom, the most powerful deity to purify, has a to piss up obstacles to complete Dharma practice, say, and to develop wisdom. So he can see himself very perfectly. So even that time, he can concentrate. So, in generation state, they are able to do, have a lot of realizations. So even that time, was so busy, you know, you see, learning yourself, learning, teaching others, improve things. So like this. So that means many other, you know, great teachers. Many, you see, while they are so busy learning, teaching others, so they do a mental path and they have attendance like that, you know. So many, without going outside the caves or anything like that, you see. But many also go outside. But so many within the monastery, so they develop at the same time their mind path and enlightenment. So at Dharamsala, when the Kishirata was Dharamsala, there's one small house there. Dharamsala, the Dushita, he's our descendant. From there, they were close to that other side. So then Gijisabdhan told Gensambha Ongdu that because Gensambha was his disciple, was main teachers, I mean, his other teachers, but I mean, in Tibet is Gijisabdhan. So they talk. So just as a special story, just the meditators were just mentioned these authors. In Tibet, you know, during that time, Mother Miga, when I was studying Mother Miga, I did like this, you see. I had this good able to mention, wow, you know, totally yourself, Yamantara, like that, you see. just a general information about the great teachers in the monastery, they do, you see. Like that. I mean, by explaining about Kishirabdhan, you see. So, I say, Gijisabdhan is a great scholar and great yogi, anyway, so the Ajahn Rinpoche was giving the commentary group, which is all Lama, which was there. So they don't go out to go take teachings at different lamas. Some does, but not all. Some very much the teacher keep the monastery to study, finish study extensive Dharma, and like that. So Lama and Gensambha Ongdu went to attend the Saiguru Puja, the commentary, and the most extensive Guru Yoga practice. But then, during that time, Gensambha Ongdu explained to us, then his mind totally, completely changed. And then got renunciation, you see, by listening to Kang to Guru Pujapama, completed. So then he left the monastery. He went to see one very high lama, Tatsun Dojichan, who holds the four traditions, Sajaka Yunima Gelu, you know, the teaching of the tradition. lived for 100 years, maybe a long time. And so went to receive instruction. Then went to receive instruction. Then gave instruction to see where, which cave. And I think the south part of Tibet was the Minakata cave, I mean, hermitage. So I think the Gautama Geshe, Kamlungpa, I think. Kamlungpa. So the here's Kamlungpa, right?
Yes.
Here, the center, name, Kamlungpa. Okay. So, so Islam advised to go to that cave to meditate. Then, I think, so gave teachings where you don't need to look for. Don't need to go away, you know, to look for food and things like, you see. So get this, taking the essence with making pills with the flowers, medicinal flowers. So the Rinpoche gave that, those teachings. Then he went to the cave. Then he lived on the, then he did this retreat. Then they're taking the essence, you see. Which is 21 days. The training is 21 days. So, all of that. So, anyway, but one year, Bichamamudu was Dharamsala before, a few years before he passed away, when Jun Lama, Lama Isha was there. I don't know, remember what I mentioned to Lama, but again, we are requesting, Lama requested Bichamamudu to give this teaching to our elder Sanghas. I think, many Sanghas did, many elder Sanghas did the retreat, 21 days. So Lama made the pills, you know, the flowers collected from the from Solukhumbu, Himalaya Mountains. Then made pills, and then. so the many elder Sanghas they received teaching from Geshe-la Mundu about this, and then they all did the retreat. Yeah, that. I think the Sangha has great success. That I think only one didn't succeed. One, I think, got sick or very sick. You know. I think the next day, I think, got very sick. So I didn't. But that monk cannot do yunnan as well. He always gets irritated. Yunnan, the vomited, so I think something is wrong. That some heavy thing come get purified, you see. So anyway, some had great success. So anyway, so he lived in cave, then just lived there, taking the essence of the pills, and to look after food, you see. So that method is so that if you go to look for food, then you go very far. If you're living in the high mountains, sometimes, you see, you have to go very far and then take many days, so waste a lot of time. And so you see. Then also, by doing this, your mind becomes so clear, so unbelievable clear, very sensitive, very clear, very, very clear, so easy. So it helps very much to accomplish the samatha kama by the meditation. So that so anyway, so he did so all day long he did jocha practice, the paper practice, then mental language. So that I think 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, I'm not sure, something like that, maybe 1 year something. Then when Tibet was by force taken by men in China, and then the then escaped. Then he escaped there. See. So so he was when he was Baksa, he was something totally, totally different. What is it? I was mentally dead. Exactly follow the monk's vows. And so when you see him outside, he lives. One time it happened, he was living outside of the house where I was living. The house where I was living, 16 number. So the outside of our door was the small bamboo, small bamboo house. I mean, bamboo walls, small bamboo walls. There's a wall, this side bamboo, with a ditch, the bamboo, the back side bamboo. Then he had a door, just enough for one person. So then, with that, you don't see him, one of those pee-pee outside, otherwise you don't see him. They're all outside of the house. So anyway, without saying much, so every time when he comes out, when you see him sometimes, comes out, very proper, they go into the nail, totally, his mind's completely, mind's completely controlled. Completely under control. So the way we robe, so just everything is just, real practitioner. So even when walking, you see, you're just going to put it, just seeing the manners. it's very inspiring, you see. mind and control. So anyway, then left her to Dalhousie. Dalhousie is near Dharamsala. It's very cold in the winter time. So I was there 6 months in school with the young Dalai Lamas. Then I met him there. So on Sunday we have holiday, so we go down the mountain. The young lamas. So then one time he was coming, and asked where he's going. He said he's going for look for firewood. But he doesn't appear. He doesn't look like looking for firewood. Totally subdued. Completely, they were walking, doesn't look at all. So completely, normally looking for firewood will be a different one, a different meditation. But look like he was going to temple or something. So anyway, I didn't see his room. His room was somewhere where a lot of people died, and kind of a broken house. He was living there. Unfortunately, I should have gone inside, but so broken house. He was living there for many years. A lot of spirits. Later, he was telling us a lot of spirits, around him. Then sometimes he recited Bodhicitta, the first chapter, but benefits of Bodhicitta within. And the spirits, you see. outside, there's a road above, then this way he lives, but all roofs broken like that, just a small house there. So totally even renounced life, you see. So anyway, he followed one High Lama. After he finished Geshe, studying in the monastery, did examination, then he left the monastery, he went up there, High Mountain. deep monastery, to Gyobo Rinpoche. So, the Lama, and maybe there's one attendant. So this Lama, he had nothing there. After you finish studying, then you left a very high mountain near Lhasa. The mountain is so big and so huge, always obscured by clouds on top. So anyway, this Lama, so he was carrying these monks, just the ropes and that, that you need to keep. Okay. So then the Lama Chimma, Lama Tsongkhapa, just a few things. Then he's looking for a cave place. Then there was stone coming. There was stone dropping upon the mountain. So he fought. Again, stone coming, again. So he followed the stone. Then then there was one cave he found. In this cave, there was skeleton. There was skeleton sitting. Then he sat down outside the cave. He offered mandala. Then after he finished offering mandala, the skeleton collapsed. Then he decided this is the place to meditate. Then he lived there, I don't know. Then his disciples, came, you know, some distance, quite, then some there, to meditate. You know, those were all finished studying extensively. Well, and so, and his guidance to actually the path. So, anyway, this Lama lived at Lhasa. So then he organized this place for the monks to. that he can see, that they can practice, then he chooses those. He doesn't accept anybody. So anyway, so Geshe-Chamba-Ungdo was the first one there in India, first mentor guided by him. So anyway, he achieved their karma by Rishine. There, completely. Geshe Rabdhan Rinpoche went there to ask and inspire people to practice this. And then I think they began, and then he completed. And then the letter came back to Dharamsala, the Rinpoche that had Lama passed away. They came back to Dharamsala, they lived many years in Dharamsala, different places. So, down below, so there's a mountain here, Dushita here, there's a Mingbuche, he's the Lama's elder guru. Then we go down, then there's a mountain on the side. So there's one rock, so you dig, then become a cave. So he lived there 7 years, I think. So then he realized emptiness. So I was teaching Mount Buddha, teaching from Geshe Rinpoche. So then Geshe Rinpoche told me that he has realized the emptiness and he has a fresh, you know, the experience. So he had questions to ask him. So he told me a few times. So then he stayed, here there's the Sundaram Palace and the Mellow Ganges Sea. Oh, then there's a mountain backside. Then high up there's also he lived there for quite a number of years. So I think somewhere there also he had a realization of bodhicitta. generally speaking, I think realizing emptiness is not really actual bodhicitta is much more rare, you know. But of course it still depends on the person's merits from past. But realization bodhicitta is rare, generally speaking. So for experience emptiness is maybe more similar to that. So anyway, that's the most likely person with realization bodhicitta. So I had realization bodhicitta. So one day when we're there, then he used to come, you know, time to time. And sometimes, so when there's need or something, then he would just appear. They can somehow to see. So anyway, because I think he can see, you know. So at Dharamsala, somebody is dying, then you see not as a communication, not a friend or honestly, but somebody's dying. Then I think he see from his cave, you see, so he appeared there and give advice to the person dying like that. So somebody says very famous learned Geshe, very famous learned, you see, when he's dying, so making a lot of noise, you know, dying. Then he went there to give advice, and also the late person. So, to remind bodhicitta, you go there to remind the bodhicitta when he's dying, you see. So he's able to see. He goes to this, Genchamoto goes to this Vajralama. He doesn't have to go to the office, to the secretary or anything. He can go straight, whenever he wants. So, because I think he can see, but his kid, he can see the time, right? Because he can see. So I think that's, he doesn't have to go through like the other people. Only one time I requested someone to give the secret generosity, Jawajatsu initiation, so ask him someone to. So, or he said, oh, this one I have to go through the, you know, secretary. But he never went through that for so many years. He can go straight. Because he can see when is that right time. Maybe sometimes a little bit wait, but I was say. So, yeah. So he used to tell us, Ramachandra. She said that he has never been in anybody's house 7 years ago for himself. For his own sake, he has never been in anybody's house for 7 years ago. So it doesn't mean he hasn't been other people's house, isn't it? That means what it applies is that generated bodhicitta 7 years ago. So, you see, once you generate bodhicitta, you see, there's no thought at all it's seeking happiness for yourself. Not the slightest. You see, but total change, you see, only seeking happiness only for other sentient beings. You know, total seeking happiness only for other sentient beings. You see, never rise. I mean, of course, you can generate bodhicitta. It does happen. You lose. Then you fell lower part. You see, that does happen. Some, you see, but you see, the whatever is impossible to rise. Thought in even moment, seeking happens for oneself. So therefore, only seeking happiness for others. So only cherish others. So therefore, whatever you do, even your breathing, whatever you do, you know, everything, eating, walking, sitting, everything, whatever you do, it's everything for sentiments. Only for others. So that's what he means. He's not saying that he hasn't been to other people's house. He's not saying that. So he said, we've been at other people's house for his own purpose. For 7 years ago. Yeah. So anyway, then not only he completed the three principles, but all this, you know, unbelievers. Not only that, even that high standard part, generous stage, he had this great experience. So when we were taking teachings in six yogas naropa, tantric part, completion part, with six yogas naropa formation dharma, so one time I was done sala, so we take teaching, then we come back together and then we discuss Dushita in my room with him. So then he tell his experiences. You know, he accomplished this. So he regard by Geshe-ratan Rinpoche, he regard very, very fortunate, very successful mentor. After having realized in this, Geshe-ratan Rinpoche says, very fortunate, you know, mentor like that. So anyway, yeah, like that. So, so I took the lineage of taking the essence of the flower, you know, so that you live without food, you see, and the soil to replace, you see. So in case So anyway, to preserve, my wants is to preserve because in case it became rare, you know. Of course, I haven't done yet. And they say, oh, children. So maybe I should have a diabetes. See what the diabetes says. So anyway, so after that, from Gichimongdu, the not the teaching, but except the other teaching that asked what is the good way to have realization of dream. So his answer is that to practice antidote to self cherishing, to practice antidote to ego self cherishing. So that's bodhicitta, see. So that's perfectly right. So you know, he mentioned the very heart, the essence, with himself the experienced. He himself bodhisattva, I mean tantri, is yogi, so great experience. So from his experience, he tell what that. what everything makes successful, you know, whole attainment. So the comes good heart, ultimate good heart. So but the bodhicitta with the antidote to his ego self cherishing. So that's answer is like the very key, you know, answer to the the very heart is the answer. So daily life, you see, practicing antidote to his self-cherishing doctor. So then he becomes successful. anyway, what happened was he had to clock. So when it was he was staying in Gishirapten, which is a small house. So he has 1 o'clock. But then before, I don't know if the clock, but that time he had a clock. So when he went to puja, or take teachings from some Dalai Lama, so I was there. So what? Thief came, thief took the clock. So thief came, but couldn't find anything in the house. Yeah, so only thing, what thief wanted was the clock. So the clock, you see. So then when he came back, you know, the clock was taken by thief, so he was so happy. Well, actually, that was the man's story to tell, but that's the man's story, but I've described a little bit about who's getting some own duty. But I had to realize how he's important, you know. To realize how he's important, but very successful. I have to introduce him, but you see. So he met him. So he told me that he was happy. Yeah. The thief took the clock away, you see. So happy. So that why is so happy the kid took the clock? because you see, he has realization that, you know, kindness of sentient being, how sentient is so kind, you see, so precious. He has realization that. You see that, you know. So that means incognitive, so precious, so kind, you see. And so he has a realization that first the foundation is that. So I mean, realized that his mother numberless times power, kindness, all that. And then the extensive kindness. Besides that, there's the extensive kindness, you know. So as I mentioned just before, teaching all your powers, including everything received by kindness of each sentient being, from each sentient being. So that's extensive kindness, unbelievable. Just can't. So, this is unimaginable. So anyway, so here this foundation realization. So this clause is what this is what he wanted. You know what does the people need and want. See? So then you're able to offer. You're able to send him received what he wanted. So that's why he's so happy. Okay. So I'm saying yeah. So you look at positive. He didn't think he didn't look at negative. He looked at positive, very positive. It's so good, you see. So he's so happy. So if you look at negative, then if your mind level negative, then you see. Then you see angry and you want to put in prison. That you know. Then you tell police all that, you see. So then you're getting a problem. You get karma, all that. Then the other person get a problem. Then police get a problem. Then many people get a problem creating the karma. then also sometimes you see you invite many sentient beings into the lower realm, you see. Invite them into the lower realm. So there are many meditators like that. Great Lamas, so stories that meditators so like that, you see. And so, how your mind creates, you see, phenomena, or they hear the happiness. Even though, you see, somebody took your things, but how you make so happy? You see, it's come from your mind, you know, through meditation, having those attainments, you see. How precious that being is in kindness, you see. So that. So Sen is the reason why I'm saying it is so that we should develop our mind that way. See, so there's a thought transmission or the lamrim practice thought transmission that even it's a problem. What normally got a problem, you see. But then for you, become great, incredible peace and happiness. So that, you see. So they say. That just mention one. Then I'll stop there. So the Guru Shakyamuni Buddha, how he practiced, somebody whom he helped, somebody whom he benefited, and then but that sentient being instantly as a result benefiting back, harmed. You see. So you help that sentient being, but you help that sentient being. So the normal, the ordinary, common way is, you know, you expect to receive a benefit from that person, not harm, you only help. But what happened? What happened is, instead of receiving help, that person is harmed to you. So. Now here, Buddha advises is that Buddha himself what he practiced, how he practiced with this, dealing with this. So Buddha said, cherish that being most. You know, cherish, generate, you see, strong compassion to that being, whom you help, but in return get harmed you. So this is what Buddha is himself practiced, and this is what he advised. Cherish the most. These are majority. strongest compassion, or great compassion to that being. See that. So, sí. Then, so if you, of course, if you think of that, if you think that's sentient being, well, makes most happy, that makes most happy because you don't harm, and you only cherish the most, because you cherish compassion. So, makes most happy. So, whatever need to say. So, however, you know, you really sincere from your heart, not a political thing. Not what I say. So, anyway, look at that. So, I just said, but anyway, so, you do that sincere from your heart, you see. that, how you can do that is by thinking kindness to that person. Kindness to that person. That is it. unbelievable kindness to that person. So they, So you see, normally in the life, you see, you know, somebody whom you harm, and then you see bad trait, respect, and that person harm you back. You see, I mean, that's sort of, well, not maybe all the time, but you can expect that, you see. But somebody whom you help, then they return harm to you. So that's very, that's very difficult. Most people in the world think that's the worst thing in life, in your life. We help worst thing. See, think the worst thing in the world. I mean, in your life. See. So anyway, so that's the most difficult one. See, I say most difficult one to you know, to develop compassion to that being. See. Most difficult one, because you help, but then you turn get harm. So you see, very difficult to say. I mean, most people in the world who think that the worst thing in your life is the world. You see, think that. So wouldn't cherish or generous compassion. You see, I mean, you get angry, get anger and harm back. You see, that's what usually happens. So now here, you see. the generosity, your compassion, the greatest compassion, the being, you see. So when you do that, you see, it purifies so many eons of nidhikama, your nidhikama. That person, you see, you help, but return harm. It's a result of your past karma, result of your past need karma. It's came from your mind. You know? The person just condition, but it's what caused the person to harm you? It's because in the past you harmed that person. Maybe you did smita, you know? That person helped you, but you harmed that. So when you practice compassion back, you see, says compassion, then it purifies, you see, strong compassion generally. You purify so many eons need karma. Your past need karma get purified. And you see, you become shorter in samsara. You become shorter in samsara, you see. So. Yeah, but that is it. So then you see, shorten samsara, you see. Suffering, you see, suffering life, maybe samsara shorter. You see, that many years shorter, you know, being shorter, being samsara. So that much, so much quicker to achieve liberation, one sort of from some from oceans of samsara seven, and none of that then achieving enlightenment. Not only that, then achieving enlightenment much become much closer to achieving enlightenment for sentient beings. Then that means able to liberate, able to that means so you so so much quicker, you see, to achieve enlightenment, to your mind say, to be free from all, say, to be fully say, perfected in the cessation, perfected in the quality of cessation of not only suffering but even the development, growth and subtle development. Then completing all the qualities of realization. You see. So Buddha has limitless sky's quality, Buddha's holy body, holy spiritual mind, Buddha's like limitless sky's qualities. You know? So when you become Buddha, you are all those unimaginable, you see. So then, not only that, doesn't stop there, you're able to liberate numberless things from each realm, number. Then numberless things, you liberate them from the oceans of samsara suffering, cause, karma, duty. Liberate them quickly. And bring them to enlightenment quickly, you see. So, kuga you become enlightened. So, kuga you liberate samsara, you see. So, from generating strong compassion, you get generating strong compassion to that one person, you know, strong compassion to that one sentient being. What you get from that, just mind blowing, yeah, mind blowing. So, maybe nose blowing, so nose blowing, mind blowing. Anyway, so just unimaginable benefit of compassion. So what do you get from that? Just, you see. And so now, which one you're going to choose? Harm to that. You're going to choose harm to back to that person. Or you're going to choose this compassion. You get all these amazing, you know, mind-blowing benefits, skies of benefit. Yourself with all these qualities and life. Then you liberate numbers in the ways from oceans of something else. And none of that bring to enlightenment. So all this you're able to do. Kuga. Kuga. See. So you see. So I'm just saying the benefits of the years. What do you get? You see. See that, but of course, with general compassion, by thinking very deep kindness of that person, you see, then you generate compassion. So it's very sincere thought. So otherwise, you can't generate compassion. it's not talking compassion here, but compassion there. There's going to be feeling compassion there. So this is very important. Very important what benefit you get. You see, somebody whom you helped but get harmed. So that's very important to know that. Very important what to do. So you see, if you harm, you create karma. You create karma, you go. Then you create karma that obscures your mind to have realization, path to mind. Emptiness, bodhicitta, so forth. Then, besides all the suffering, the Lord, and the unimaginable suffering, the Lord, long time, eons, you see. then you experience all the problems for 100,000 lifetimes in the human realm, you see. You die born human, again, experience problems. So, from that karma, you left over, you see, so much in the human realm, so many problems you experience. So, see, later. By harming others, that you create the call, to receive harm from others. Every time when we harm others, we must know. Every time when we harm others, we create karma to receive harm from others. So that's always we should be aware. You create all this, so many karma. With that person, you see, very angry, with the Buddhist mind, you know. Destroys the marriage. When you're angry, it destroys the marriage. So, even small marriage that fight it, you know, with so much effort, you know, something that happened, but then they're destroyed by the anger. So very, the anger is very risky. The anger must know this, Anger is worse than atomic bomb. Anger is worse than atomic bomb. The atomic bomb, that's to see, I mean, you die, you know, separate consciousness from this body, that's it. You see, if you have incarnate karma, you see, then you don't get it from all realms. You get higher, but even, you know, pure land or perfect human body, you can receive perfect human body, practice dharma, eternal power, so you can die. Anger, creating karma, you see, then, that makes to be reborn lower realms. Obscures the mind, obstacle for attainment, and all of that. Extra things, born lower realm, it brings so much suffering. And then, so many problems, even when not a good karma, you're born a human being, but you experience many problems, many lifetimes. So the atomic bomb doesn't do that. Cannot do that. So, atomic bomb, anger is much heavier. Heavier, much more harmful to you and to others in the world. So the atomic bomb is nothing. atomic bomb or cancer, you know, even sicknesses, cancer, what is nothing? So weapon like a tumor bomb or sickness like cancer is nothing. So even a cancer, the many lamas, many people who have good hearted, lived, you see, sincere life and good hearted. You know, even in the West, you see people. So then when they die, even they die with cancer, there's no fear. You know, there's no fear to the dead. You know, there's a kind of confidence. There's something good journey. You see, even they don't know, but there's a confidence in their heart. You see, so there's a happy part. Or say, you know, you don't feel kind of you don't scared. You see, even in the West, you see, this is how you see, you know. So even non-Buddhists, you see that. Then many lamas, you see, who pass away with cancer, but you see reincarnated again, and you see again reincarnated again, and able to benefit continuously to single beings. So therefore, cancer is nothing. That was harmful. Anger is the worst. I see, to you and to harm to the sentient beings from life to life. The anger leaves negative imprint in the mind, then you see, negative imprint in the mind, then it causes anger again. So remember this. Each time when we get angry, means leaves negative imprint back on your mental being. And that causes rise anger. So how many anger rises this life? There's so much negative imprint left in the mind. So in the future lives to rise so much anger, you see. I think it's time to go to bed now. It makes very difficult future lives. To practice dharma. To practice dharma, to have attainment, to be free from samsara, that makes very difficult. Then anger also harms. Like that, anger harms to all sentient beings. Like to life, if you think, you see. From beginning to the Buddhist, then see, you don't get liberated from samsara, if you don't practice patience, if you don't pacify anger, you see, then the life to life, like beginner's rebirth, at that still calling you then, you see. So you you die, reborn, you connect to many sentient beings. So continuously you see, you harm to others with anger. So you see, numberless things.
So like that.
So therefore now you can see how it's so harmful the
eternal bomb.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe I think.
Okay, maybe.
Maybe I should stop. Yeah.
So the same topic is the how the mind creates phenomena. Okay. The this present.
Yeah. Yeah.